We love this man, I'll tell you. We love this man. Come ahead, Brother Franklin. It's my privilege to be in a church like this. I love this church. You folks do not realize what you've got, I don't think. Because I'll tell you, I've been in churches where you could catch pneumonia just visiting a Sunday. It's the cold. But I'm glad I'm here tonight in a Holy Ghost church. Now, there's not anybody that I love more than I do Brother and Sister Johnson. They're the closest friends I got. I only got four or five. But I'm sure proud of them. And we're so thankful tonight to be in this church and be a part of it. And I love this man. He preaches. You folks, he'll preach a happy every Sunday.
Amen.
I haven't had time to work with Brother Gary on song service, but he's doing well. Love you, pal. What a night to be a Christian. Are you glad you're saved? You know, we ought to be having a spell. We're getting ready to go to heaven. This world's not our home. And outside of this church, there's very little happiness. When you get out in the world, brother, there's a sad story. But we're thrilled tonight to be here, and I'm excited. I'm excited about anywhere they'll ask me to say something. Now, several places they didn't say a word. But I'm glad tonight. So good to have the Hardin family with us. They're dear friends. I went down to preach a revival for them, and I want to warn our young preachers. I've been down for a lot of meetings. Some of the best times I've had have had at their place. But the last meeting I went down, Brother Marty Hardin took us on an airboat ride. And he had with him his associate, Brother Steve. And we went out down on the Gulf, and Brother Steve caught a 7-foot alligator and put him in the boat with me. Now, if you think you won't pray, you will pray. And that thing got to slapping around my feet, and I thought it was his tail, but it was his head. And I stood on my head. I had my feet straight up and leaning down that seat. I said, in the name of common sense, get him out of here. And I tell you, it's wonderful. We had a great time. Love those folks. Love you folks. I don't guess I have an enemy. I haven't been here long enough to have an enemy. Maybe some over in Legacy Heights. I don't know. But I'm just having a good time. Thrilled tonight to be in the house of God. Thrilled to be a part of the family of God. And I'm excited about what the Lord wants to do. I'm going to read three scriptures tonight, and then I'm going to give some testimonies, and we're going to talk about them. I've never preached on what I'm going to read tonight. I've read this book through and preached on nearly every chapter. But tonight, I just kind of got on last night I was praying in the night. And before I get to my text, I want to give you a testimony. My daughter has Ruth Flowers in Texarkana. It was going broke. They had to take money and put in it. Wasn't doing what it ought to do. What wasn't making money. It was taking money. Brazos, her husband, was not happy at all. He was taking his car money and putting it in her flower money. And that doesn't work good. And so Bricky said, we've already borrowed a lot of money and it was expensive. Bought the business, and she bought it so that she'd have a business if something happened. Their family asked me about it, and I told her I thought it was God, and I prayed about it. But it was going broke. And so she got up one, fasted and prayed that week. Got up one morning and said, God, if you want this flower shop, you can have it. Or if you want me to go broke, it'll be all right. I've learned a lesson. But if you want it to go, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm going to give it to you this morning. And it's your shop, and I'll run it for you, and I'll give the money to you. And she takes very little salary, very little out of it, and gives the rest of it to the Lord. And I could tell you, she gave thousands and thousands to mission and paid her tithes on top. And she can't handle the business. 16 cars tried to deliver the flowers on last Valentine, and they couldn't make it. I'm telling you, God's bigger than our problem. Amen. But now I'm down to tell you a testimony that happened this week. One of her ladies were sick, and whenever they're sick, well, they don't come to work, and so she was swamped. She said, I was swamped. She had a huge wedding Saturday night, and they didn't get it all done, and so it was one of the largest. They had 45 vases of flowers with candles and I don't know how many trees decorated at that wedding. But this morning, a lady came to work, or yesterday morning, came to work, and she was drunk. And drunks don't make pretty bouquets. And so she came, and Brinky can't smell. She's lost her smell. And we prayed about it. We prayed for a lady in the church, and she got her smell back. But Brinky hadn't got hers, and we called her sister, smelling better. But anyway, she's a lot better, and I hope she's not tuned in, but she's a good lady. But Brinky can't smell, so she didn't know she was drunk. She gave her a gave her a job, and it was terrible. And so the other lady said to Brinky, this lady is drunk, and she's drinking, and she can't work. She just can't do it. Brinky said, well, I'll take her. I want to take her out. So she took her out to the shop and said, I want to talk to you. You're drinking today, and you can't function, and I'm going to ask you to go home because I can't use you today. And she said, well, okay, I'll go home. She said, I hate this drinking. I'm drinking my last time. And Brinky said, well, I hope. And so she left and went home. And Brinky was worried about her and prayed for her that day. And so this morning she came back. She didn't come to work, and Brinky called her. Said, how are you doing? Are you sober? Are you drinking? She said, I haven't drunk a drop since you talked to me yesterday. You told me if I drunk any more, I was in serious trouble. And I haven't drank one drop. Well, I said, why didn't you come to work? She said, I thought you fired me. Oh, I didn't fire you. I just sent you home because you're drunk. You couldn't handle it. And Brinky said, well, let me ask you something. If you're sober, you come on to work, but I'm going to come and get you tonight, and I'm going to take you to church, and you're going to get saved. She said, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to get saved. I want to be delivered. I don't like the way I'm living. I'm through life. I want you to come and get me. So right now, while we're having church, she's in church with Brinky, and they're going to have an altar call in a few minutes. I want everybody in this church to bow your head and say, God, break the habit, set the captive free, liberate the oppressed. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think. Lord, break that liquor habit today. You set the captive free. Give her a soul salvation that'll deliver her and give her fire in her soul and fill her with the Holy Ghost and fire. Make her a blessing to the souls of men, we pray. Amen. I believe that lady's going to get saved tonight. Glory, because Brinky said, I'm coming to get you, and you're going to my house, and we're going to church, and we're going to the altar. And she said, that's exactly what I want. Come and get me. Folks, there's a needy world just right around the corner from where we're living. Your pastor's been preaching on it. Jesus left us a message. And the message is, don't leave Jerusalem till you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And the next one, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he gave you the Holy Ghost. He'll make you shout, but that isn't the reason he gave it to you. He gave you power to witness to souls. You shall receive power and be witnesses unto me. That's the message. Well, let me give you a little testimony. Lenita, my daughter, Brinkley, we call her, has gone 16 years every week to the bi-state prison. She goes every week on Mondays, and they have service, and for years she was could take her keyboard. They sang, and they had church, and she bought Bibles herself from American Bible Society and carried and gave every person in that prison a Bible. Everybody got a Bible. She bought them out of her own account. And so they got a warden that was the lady warden. And she said, "You can't bring Bibles. We don't want Bibles here in this bi-state." And so she brought the little daily bread testimony, a little booklet that had stories of salvation and healing and blessing. And she said, "You can't bring them. We don't want them here." And she made it difficult for Brinkley. She didn't want her to come, and she made it difficult. And Brinkley said, I just prayed for her. And every time I'd go, it was a meet the same thing. So finally, she was expecting a baby. And the baby was born, and my daughter went to Dillard's and bought the finest little suit she could find for a baby. And bought a beautiful quilt and had it monogrammed and had the baby's name put on it. And it was beautiful. And some flowers, and sent it to her. Well, she didn't let on like anything happened. And Brinkley said, "I just was fighting a battle at the bi-state. I'd just go and I'd there and I'd fight a battle." So day before yesterday, Monday morning, Brinkley said, "I went home from church Sunday night, stayed up and prayed. Dear God, break the yoke, I pray. Set the captive free." Stayed till 12 o'clock. Got up the next morning, went to bi-state. She called me on the way and said, "Daddy, I just feel like something's good going to happen." Woo! Sound like Pastor Johnson. And she got there. And there was the lady, all right. But she came in and stood and watched all of the prisoners. She kept guard. And Brinkley said, I was praying and crying and telling them the story of Jesus. And I got down to my altar call and I said, "Now, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to come up here and I'm going to pray for you." She was the first one in line. Yeah. I said, "Here she came," and said, "Brinkley, I need help. Want to get saved." They prayed and cried and wept. And she reached over and grabbed Brinkley around the neck and started hugging her and said, "Thank God, thank God." Well, Brinkley was so thrilled. There was a bunch more came. And she said, "Well, since you've got a gift, we ought to praise the Lord. I want everybody that got saved this morning, the gift of salvation, to raise your hand just as high as you can get them and tell God how thankful you are." He said, "I look back in that very person. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus." Let me tell you, God still answers prayer. Woo! I said, God's still on the throne. Hallelujah. That's a miracle. And tonight, she's finding Jesus. Hallelujah. That drunk is finding Jesus. Well, let me tell you, a preacher called me today. That's today. Called me this morning. And said, "Brother Brankle, are you walking yet?" And I said, "Yes, sir. Trying to get a job at IHOP. I'm still..." I'm walking. And he said, "Are you able to come and hold me a revival? I want the first revival you're able to hold." And I said, "Well, that's right now." And he said, "Well, come on." I said, "No, I'm going to wait a little bit. I'm getting strength and I'm gaining." He said, "Well, I want to tell you what happened Sunday in our church. I've held several revivals in that church. It's in Kentucky. And I've been there several times, held a camp meeting right up the road in one of the larger churches in that area. We had a glorious time. Several got the baptism and saved, and we just had a glorious meeting. But I've been in that church, I think, three or four times, and where he pastors. And Brother Turner is a great man of God. I love him and I appreciate him. He said, Brother Brankle, I saw something. I've been going to church and told how many years, but I've never seen what I saw Sunday. Well, I said, share it with me, pal. I want to know. He said, Sunday, we were having church, and I was there preaching. And while I was preaching, I looked back, and a lady died, sitting on the seat, and died. We have a doctor's assistant, we have an RN, and we have a therapist in our church, and they were back working with her. I went back there as quick as I could, left the pulpit, walked back where she was, and the therapist or the nurse said, the RN said, she's gone. She gave three gurgle sounds and then was gone. She said she has no pulse, there's not a breath of air in her body, she's totally gone. We need to call 911, let them carry her in. Well, they called 911. The pastor went back to the pulpit. When he got back to the pulpit, he said, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me and said, you're not through. Go back and pray again. He said, well, I thought, well, she's dead. But I went back there and anointed her with oil, and she didn't know it. She was lifeless, no heartbeat, nothing. And when I anointed her with oil, the power of God hit that lady, and the nurse had her by the hands, and she said, I've never been shocked that hard in my life. It went through my body like I had electrical shock of 120 volts, and she's totally healed, well, and alive today. I've got specialized. I said, specialized. Woo, hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is God in Van Buren, Arkansas. God is God in this tabernacle. Glory. Let me just share a little testimony that was with me. We're here for the night. But, you know, it's amazing how we worked so hard a few years ago and didn't have automatic electricity and didn't have wash machine, didn't have nothing to help us. And we got to church and stayed longer. So I kind of think we need a little extra. But anyway, I didn't get an amen in this whole church. We were building the church in Texarkana. I was 70 years old when I started it. And I'm younger now than I was then. And we got the trenches all dug, and we had to have some lime to fill some places in. I ordered several ton of lime. We put them in. But we got our ditches dug and got the steel in the ditches about 8 o'clock that night. He called this concrete company and they said, we'll stay awake all night to help you. We've got drivers. I've already solicited them. And we'll deliver them. And we've got a pump there that'll pump at 100 feet. And so we was out there with boots on. I was jumping ditches and trying to help them and put the steel in, and if it rained, he said, we'll lose it all because we'll have to take all the steel out, dig the ditches again, and the forecast was there is a hard rain, expect 1 to 2, maybe more inches. And the cloud was building up, and the lightning was flashing, and the concrete truck was there. I called all the members of the church, and I said, come here, stand out here in the yard. I'm not going to ask God not to give anybody rain. Somebody may need rain. But let's ask God to split that cloud. I know He can, and let's just stand here and split it. Ask God. We lifted our hands and said, dear God, there's the rain right there, but we're going to ask You in the name of Jesus to help us tonight. We need help. This is Your house. And would You split that cloud? And it divided. And it rained right down the street a block. It rained up the street another block. We poured concrete till 3 o'clock in the morning. I want to shout tonight, our God still meets the need of His church. Woo! Hallelujah. He's God. Good shout. Oh, hallelujah. If I get these spare parts of working better. Last night, Sister Branko fell, and I caught her, with this arm, and it's not working good. So I've got one leg off and one arm gone. But I'm shouting glory. Let me me talk to you about prayer. Let's read a scripture. I may share some more with you, but I want to read a scripture. Have your Bibles, the second chapter of the book of John. I love John. The book of John. The second miracle recorded in the book of John is what I'm going to read. And what I'm going to read doesn't sound like Jesus. But it is. Second chapter of John. Verse number 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem from Capernaum. And found in the temple those that sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. That's my Jesus. You know, we've got it that he's just going to be all love, but there's the judgment on the other side. And then he said, unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And he said in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, turn over to it and we'll read. Matthew tells about it. And in Matthew chapter number 21 of the close of his ministry, and the verse number 9 of 21, and the multitudes that went before that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when it was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money chargers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. I want to talk to you for just a little bit. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Of all the things that may happen in church, one of the greatest things that will happen is making it a house of prayer. You know, we have a gospel. When you begin to analyze our gospel that we're preaching to a lost and a heathen world, we're telling a world that Jesus was born of a woman that didn't have a husband. And this little maid had a child, and stars moved in their course to point where he was. And wise men came clear from the east, the country of Oman, to see this Savior. And we're telling them that he was baptized in Jordan, and a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And we're telling them that he walked on the water, cast out devils with his word. We tell the world he's that Jesus. And on the end, he was arrested in the garden of prayer and carried into the high court. And they stripped him of his garments and beat him unmerciful until the Bible said he was more marred than any man. And if he's the Son of God, looks like he could have got help from heaven and not had to take it. But let me shout, with those stripes, we are healed. Glory. Shouting grace. But we're telling the world this story. And then he was taken out, spit upon, mocked, laughed at, treated badly. And then they put a crown of thorns on his head. They hit him with a stick. They spit in his face. They slapped him on the face. They blindfolded him and said, Who did it? We're telling the world this gospel. And that he was, then they led him out and crucified him on top of old Golgotha. And they made fun of him while he was on the cross, two male servants were crucified with him, and one of them said, "If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." One of the soldiers that nailed the nails in his hand, "Come down, we'll believe on you." And we're expecting the world to believe it. I'll tell you why they can believe it. Because it's more than a story. It's truth. It's gospel. It works. And He works. Hallelujah. Signs. These signs shall follow them that believe. He rose from the dead, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. He's the King of glory. He's the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Let me talk to you about prayer now. The greatest ministry in the church is the praying people. Now, I know, I thank God for preachers, and I think you've got one of the finest pastors and the greatest preacher, but this church, unless it prays, that will not be enough. Amen. I love to hear Brother Johnson preach. I can listen to him as long as he preaches. I didn't say all night. But I just want to tell you, it takes prayer to break the bands of Satan. It takes prayer to bring miracles into the church. It takes prayer to see what God will do in the church. I went several years ago. I went to Chicago. I flew up. They told me there's going to have a prayer conference, and Jim Sindler was going to hold a prayer conference and talk to us on prayer. I was an evangelist. I caught me a plane, flew into New York, or Chicago. He's pastors in New York. But I flew into Chicago, went to the meeting, held in a big auditorium ballroom, and he spoke on pride and prayer. And he said something that I've never got away from. He said, I went to that little church. There was 26 people in it. 26 people. Couldn't pay me. Didn't pay me. I got a job, and my wife got a job. We took that church, and it was run down. Nothing there. Didn't have anything. We didn't have anything. I didn't know how to preach. I was just a young preacher starting out. I didn't have a big ministry. I just started out. He confessed that I know my sermons didn't amount to much. But I was praying and I fasted, and God spoke to me and said, "This is the most powerful voice I ever heard in my life." Said, "This voice was like thunder in my soul. The voice of God came to me as strong as I've ever heard any voice in my life and said, if you will pray and teach my people to pray, you'll never want for a message to preach. You'll never have a need for money. And you'll never build a church large enough to hold the crowd." He said, I stood and trembled. We started praying. I started calling my church. We had prayer. Right now, they pray from 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 6 o'clock every morning, every day, 7 days a week. While he preaches, 200 are in the basement saying, "God, anoint our pastor and break the yoke in the church. Set the captive free." I attended his prayer meeting. I went to attend his church. 3,000 people, they said, attended the service, the prayer meeting, just to go to a prayer meeting. Folks, there's a place in God. Hallelujah. It's not Jim Simley. It's the praying people. Come on, it's praying people. Praying people turn the world upside down. Praying people break the yoke. Praying people get the job done. I just felt this in my bones. I didn't understand why I've been sick and why this hip was like it was and why I've had to stop. But I've had a time with God that's been the most valuable days of my life. I've had a privilege of praying like I never prayed. And thank God, He still hears and answers prayer. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. I may be hobbling a little, but I want to tell you, Jacob come over the hill and had a new name and a new heart. God will touch us if we pray. Pray till you never pray till you get through. His house is a house of prayer. We maybe have a lot of things in it, but the most important thing is praying people. Pray. Now, my house, he overturned the tables, drove the money changers out, kicked over, threw the money over at the side, drove the doves out, drove it all out. And that's the beginning of his ministry. And at the end of his ministry, he did the same thing. Twice he did it. Just before he went to the cross, and just right after he was baptized of John, he overturned their tables and said, "My house, God's house, is a house of prayer." Several years ago, I attended his church. And I never heard such praying. It sounded like a roar over the building, talking to God. I visited Dave Wilkerson's church, and I went down, sat on the front row, and that church is packed, and I finally, somebody gave me a seat. It's prayer meeting night. Wasn't a regular service, just prayer meeting night, packed to capacity, and they were praying. And I believe if Brother Dave had not stopped them praying, no telling how long they would have prayed. And I got down at the front seat, and pretty soon, here came a whole bunch and found a new one there. And they started praying for me. And I said, "Pray on, brother. I need it. Amen." I just want to tell you, God hears and answers prayer. If I could put the emphasis on it, let's pray like we've never prayed. Build an altar in your home. Build an altar close to God's altar. And God will give you a revival in your soul. It's a wonderful privilege. Jesus told his disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Ghost." And they went to an upper room and prayed and praised. Let me challenge you. If you want the Holy Ghost, keep praying. If you want a revival, pray. If you want souls saved, pray. If you want conviction in the church, pray. If you want your children to live for God, pray. There's no limit to what God will do if we seek His face. I read Jeremiah said, "In the day you seek the Lord with your whole heart, He'll hear your cry." I tell you, there's some conditions to prayer. The Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I talked to an evangelist today. I've talked to several preachers. That's my only outlet's my telephone. And I preach to them, too, when I get them. One of them said, "I got to hang up." And I said, "You're not quite through. I haven't led you in a sinner's prayer." But I talked to one today, and he said, "Brother Brankle, I'm going to church after church that they don't have a born-again experience. Things of God doesn't mean much. Sunday morning is all they want, and a short one at that." Let me talk to you. If you will ever find that secret place in the Most High, if you find that altar where heaven comes, and you pray till you're praying, there's a difference in praying and then praying. Oh, when you move into that new realm and the glory floods your soul and the heaven meets with you, you found a joy that's complete. You found an answer that is absolute. You found an experience that there's nothing like it. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you want to really get blessed, bring somebody to church and them get saved, and you get to lead them on to God. That's the greatest joy outside of the gift of the Holy Ghost there is. Woo, hallelujah. I'm telling you, my kids, those that got saved under my ministry, I call them mine. And my kids are better than some of the others. I can't help it because my girls are better. Every old crow thinks there's the blackest, and those are the blackest ones I've ever seen. Just want to tell you, it's real. Joy unspeakable. Let me talk to you, and I'm going to close. God answers prayer. One of the greatest privileges He gave you was the ability to pray. You don't have to have good health to pray. You don't have to be young to pray. This is the intercessors. God wondered there were no intercessors. And Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Young preacher boy, first of all, above everything, prayer, supplication, intercession, giving of thanks." If you don't put prayer above everything else, nothing else will work. Nothing will bring conviction on a sinner like praying for him. Amen? I've told this, probably in this church. I pastored a little church. I stopped to get my girls in school, had a time getting them through school. And I taught them part of the way, and they're still having struggles. But anyway, I stopped to get them and started in the first grade. And a man, deacon's brother in that church, their family's listening, I don't mind, because they wouldn't either. Chester came to me and said, I've gone to church all my life. I don't get it. My brother, Ira, in your church, he's deacon your church, he's got it. But said, no preacher ever got next to me. I just go to church and doesn't mean a thing to me. And I thought, now wait a minute. Doesn't mean a thing. He just told me that, did some work for me and didn't charge me. Kind man. But said, I just don't buy that kind of religion. I said, well, you don't buy it anyway. And so we went to prayer. I went to church and prayed that week and prayed for the church. And Saturday evening, I came in and I said to Sister Brankle, God is out of sermons. I preached the last one he had last Sunday. I've got several books, but they're all dead. I looked up snappy sermon starters and wouldn't any of them start. Had a dead battery. Nothing was working. I came in desperate. I said, I don't have a thing in the world preaching in the morning. I haven't heard from God. Well, she said, why don't you just pray through? I said, pray through? I prayed all day. My wife later said, pray through. I said, well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's put the girls to bed. Unless you and I get down here by this chair, she said, let's get down by this chair and let's don't get up till you get an answer. And God may not need you to preach. He can do more without you than he can. I got down by that old rocking chair and she got in the other one and we held hands and cried and wept and prayed and the glory came in that little house. And a message from God flooded my soul like I'd never had it flood. The Master's come and calleth for thee. That's all I got. The Master is come and calleth for thee. And she said, let's just agree that a soul will be saved in the morning. We haven't had souls saved in a couple of weeks. Three. I said, let's agree together. And we held hands and she said, I've never had as much assurance in my life that we're going to have souls saved in the morning as we have now. We agreed together, prayed together, wept together, cried together. I got to church and I could see out the window and I saw Chester walking up the walk coming in. I thought, Chester, you said nobody ever got next to you, but you got next to now. You'll be in this altar because we prayed you through last night. It's going to happen. Chester came in and sat down. But before I did that, I went to the radio broadcast, had a broadcast to put on. I told him I want to stand up, give me a microphone, no music. I just want to preach. I preached my heart out, and a quartet from the Northside Baptist Church put a sign on the window, take our time, we'll pay for it. That's all I need. Woo! Heaven was in that studio. Had a preaching spell, and the glory came. Went to church, and there was Chester. I gave the altar call, and he didn't just come to the altar. He slid in. Running, slid in that altar. Old Brother Irie, his brother, shouted all over that front, down on his honkers. You can't do it, because I tried it. But I'm telling you, it's real. Oh, God, give us a praying people, and we'll take the earth with the kingdom of God. God will answer prayer. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray. Let me give you a little testimony of Brother Jim's church in New York. He signed a note that he would buy that old theater. It was wrecked. It leaked. It was wrecked. It was wrecked. It was wrecked. And it was $10 million, if I've got the figures right, and I think I have. And he said, I've never seen one in a worse shape, but land in New York sells by the inch, and you even buy a level. You can buy a second level or a third level. He said, I told him I'd have cash for it, because they said, we want cash. A cashier's check, we can't take your check. If you'll give us cash, we'll let you have it. He said, I went to Argentina, paved the way for every preacher in Argentina to come to my prayer conference. They came to my prayer conference. I spent my money, got home, and they called me and said, "We're ready to close on that theater, and we expect you to have the cash." He said, I got down beside my desk at the church, and I said, "Oh, God, I promised them I'd pay cash, and I haven't got it. What am I going to do?" The mail had stacked up while I was gone, and the first letter he opened had $6 million in it, and the second one had five, and said they never attended my church. There's a bomb in Gilead. I want to shout it tonight. God is still on the throne, and prayer still changes things. When you pray, if we pray, let's stand together and let's practice what we're saying. Would somebody just lift your hands to heaven and pray that Sunday heaven will come down? But let me talk to you. Between now and Sunday, I want you to do your dead level best to get somebody that doesn't attend this church to come with you.